Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. People have made two observations about this text, which I want to talk about this morning. The first observation is that this text serves as the climax, the finale to the entire Joseph story, which begins back in chapter 37. This claim, you see, implies that the Joseph story is not so much this rags-to-riches story about Joseph, as much as it is a story about how his brothers went from being a gang of hoodlums who hated Joseph to men who feared Joseph to men who at last believe that Joseph had forgiven them and that he loved them. And that is to suggest that the entire story of their adult lives was leading up to this great moment of reconciliation, which we read about in today's text. The other observation is the revelation already mentioned in chapter 45 that there is a hidden aspect to this story and all its details which is not to be missed. There is for the reader the realization that, as one commentary puts it, even where no man can imagine it, God has all the strings in his hand. And I might add, he pulls them as he wills. Now you see, that revelation ought to pull you up a little short. Think about this. Behind the evil that the brothers did to Joseph stands the omnipotent God who works all in all. Pull back the curtain behind the brothers, and there is God pulling the strings so that, as Luther insists, God works evil by means of us. Joseph seems to realize that from where we stand, his brothers were, so to speak, damned from the start. And damned is where God puts them again in today's text. Why do you think that after 17 years, they were still terrified over what they had done? Here again is God behind the scenes, hurling his thunderbolts at them, smiting their hearts with terror and fear. If God holds all the strings, he was the one who kept holding their guilt up in the mirror of their conscience. His voice was the one that kept accusing so that they could not believe that Joseph had forgiven them, no matter what Joseph had said or done. God, the puppeteer, had put them in a very narrow place where they despaired for their lives. And as you can see in the text, they can only beg pitifully and almost comically for forgiveness for sins that were committed decades previously. The conscience, it appears, knows no statute of limitations. Some of you may know that right well. God had pulled the strings tight. But now, at their very weakest, God had them right where he wanted them. After 17 years of silence, the brothers cry out for mercy, and God makes sure that they get it. Joseph, the forgiver, takes their necks out of the noose when they thought that he might pull the rope tight. Am I in the place of God? Joseph asks. Well, ironically, from the perspective that we are taking, the answer is yes. Joseph is to do what the God who has all his strings in his hands wanted him to do. And so he comforts his brothers, and he speaks to their hearts. He strengthens the crushed reeds. This text is indeed a fitting finale for the Joseph story. Or maybe we should call the story the redemption of Joseph's brothers. But let's step back for a moment and think again about this story and what its hidden aspects mean for us. This idea that God holds all your strings in his hands and he pulls them where he wants you to go. You see, the frightening possibility is that it could go either way with you, heaven or hell, depending on how God pulls. You are so not free to decide. Your fate is so not in your hands. God can move you into rebellion. He might harden your hearts, as he did to Pharaoh, among others. He might send you an evil spirit, as he did to King Saul and Judas, or blind you with the truth, as was most of Isaiah's ministry. He might give you up to your lusts, or lead you astray for reasons you cannot fathom. You see, this is slavery of an entirely different kind. What kind of a narrow place is it in which we all stand, pressed on all sides by a God who can crush us if he wants to? He has mercy on whom he wills, and on whom he wills, he hardens, Paul writes. Ah, that is so not fair. To which God says, "But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Indeed not." So today, as we think about these things, what do you think God is going to do to you? If many are called, but few are chosen, if the way to life is narrow and like the eye of a needle, then where do you stand? If all of our strings are in God's hand, when is the jig going to be up? Joseph's brothers thought that theirs was up when their father died. But God had other plans. He had made a promise to their fathers, and he was going to keep it. They were his chosen ones, you see, and so they receive mercy. And you know what? Mercy is also what you get too. Here you sit today, maybe with a restless heart, maybe with an aching heart, maybe burdened by sin and feeling the pressure that is coming from all sides. But God has made you a promise. Already in your baptism, God made you a promise, and God doesn't break his promises. So here you are today, because this is where God wants you. God pulls all the strings in your life, and he has decided to show you mercy. Joseph took the noose off his brother's neck. He lifted the burden from their shoulders, and that's the end of the old story. And the beginning, we might imagine, of a story entirely new. Am I in the place of God to claim such a thing for you? Well, as a matter of fact, from this perspective, I am his called and ordained servant, as a matter of fact. And I am here today to make sure that you receive the forgiveness that he has chosen you to have. What better way is there to comfort you and to speak to your heart than to tell you that for Christ's sake, God has forgiven you all your sins? Joseph's brothers cried out, "Anna, Sana, we beg you, please forgive us." And that's all we can say to God, too. For Christ's sake, I announce to you that God says, "Do not fear. I forgive you. I will take care of you." Should you doubt that word, come to the Lord's table and hear it again. The body and blood of Christ given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. In a way, this too is the end of your old story and the beginning of something entirely new. The finale, reconciliation and peace with God. This is what God wants for you all along. This is what he has prepared for you for all eternity. It is a foretaste, an anticipation of the feast to come. It is as if God can't wait to show it to you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Believe him when he says that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Along with Joseph's brothers, that's you. Christ gave his life to make it so.